The Lord be with you all, and may his Holy Spirit speak clearly to your heart. May his comfort surround you. Amen. Precious family, of late I have wanted more prophetic insight into events. And I've been asking the Lord, but he has been so much more interested in forming our hearts and our consciences. So I asked him for more insight into events, and he replied, "You know, a prophet does much more than foretell events. If you read Isaiah and Jeremiah with great seriousness, you will see the office entails exhortation, correction, guidance, and encouragement. These are the primary things my people need, Claire. You have done well to focus a great deal on virtue, for my people have poorly formed consciences, and this is much needed." He continued, "A prophet also must love the people. Many claim to be prophets, but only chastise and leave others stripped of hope. There were times when this harshness was necessary, and I am not saying it isn't necessary now, but it should be tempered and measured so that the soul is encouraged to seek me, believing in my mercy, and never feels completely rejected and desolate. There are those who grew up in a household where the parents were brutal, critical, not understanding their children, not guiding them, but beating them, both verbally and physically. Ministers who grew up in that environment should not be ministering until they've had a full and complete experience of my healing love. And if they did not, they will seriously damage those who could have followed me, but turned away in bitterness to another spirituality concocted by the enemy, but warm and welcoming on the outside. My chosen ones do not understand that their excessive dealings with the world and worldly values makes them an enemy to me. This is one reason why the message of holy poverty is so offensive. In the world, people want to be conformed to a standard that makes them acceptable so they can survive in society and even be looked up to. To do this, they are willing to make many compromises and become deeply involved in pleasing men to gain status and approval. But sooner or later, they will reach a turning point where they must make a big compromise or lose their status. When they set out on a path, it is innocent enough, providing for wife and children and basic necessities. But once they go into agreement with the system, they begin to conform to it in subtle ways. Let's say over lunch, mentioning my name, Jesus, is considered a social faux pas. And talking about faith, even skirting the mention of my name, is considered unfavorable for promotion. Those who are committed to this route soon find out that they are caught in a web of social conduct that excludes me. As they climb the ladder to success, they become more and more cautious about alienating anyone over the faith. As they are accepted in higher and higher offices, it is a given that they will not be offensive by discussing religion or what I have done for them. Soon they are sold out to the system because success demands certain social graces that exclude me. Rare is the soul who will carry on without becoming ashamed of me. By the time that happens, they are settled in a certain way of life for their families. And to be vocal about their faith endangers their position and possibility of promotion. The prophet also speaks up about this and works to cut the web of agreement they're caught in so that I remain first in their lives. Beloved, by example, I made a very clear statement about how attached I was willing to be to the world. I did not have a proper room or even crib. My parents were of no repute socially. and being born in Nazareth was a social stigma. I earned my bread as a common laborer and did not sit at the feet of a respected teacher. I came out of nowhere and was executed by a Roman between two thieves. Nothing in my life that would catch the religious leaders' attention pointed to me being the Messiah. In fact, quite the contrary. You will be grossly misunderstood and criticized for not wanting respectability, security, and popularity. And for those who are committed to the prosperity gospel, you will be a laughingstock, mentally off, and called deceived. But if they would just take my words and the style of life I chose to be born into, they would understand your reasoning. It is not that I don't want people to have what is necessary for life and work. It is rather that I don't want them owned by the workplace and given over to a style of life that chokes out the abundant life in the spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy are what rightfully belong to those unencumbered by the world, those who are truly free to follow me wherever I go and gather souls into my kingdom. Pursuing the things of the world leaves no time to follow me and eventually brings the soul into conflict where he must compromise or withdraw from the world altogether. Well, I just want to share something that happened to me a moment ago. My husband called and asked for help. So I got up and went back to his room, and Padre Pio's book, Have a Good Day, caught my eye, and I felt the anointing on it. So after I'd taken care of business, I went back and got the book and opened. When I opened it, I was amazed because it illuminated for me why I've been crabby and out of sorts for days, maybe even weeks. Listen to this. The words of St. Padre Pio. Those souls who throw themselves into the whirlpool of worldly preoccupations are poor and unfortunate. The more they love the world, the more their passions multiply, the more their desires are lit, and the more they find themselves incapable of carrying out their projects, and thus they are uneasy, impatient, those hearts which do not beat with charity and holy love. Let us pray for these unfortunate and miserable souls that Jesus may forgive them and draw them to himself in his infinite mercy when I allow myself to get distracted. So now in this time and place you find yourself under the scrutiny of a family whose adult daughter chose to live for me in this community and go out to serve the poor, who no one wants to serve. Love them, but do not give in to their arguments. Rather, explain that she has chosen to walk in my footsteps. You can't do any more than that. If it is not received, continue to pray that their eyes be opened to who I really am and the example I really set for those who would serve me. And at that moment, I was quickened to look up the scripture from Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the King James Version. The Lord continued, Dearly beloved family, you cannot outgive me, even as it is written, those who choose to follow me closely must at every turn deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. Your attachments will find you out. There will come a day when you must choose between me and the world. Pray for the courage to choose me, and you will never regret it. I bless you all now with courage, conviction, and faith to finish this journey you have begun with me. I am always at your right-hand side, advising, encouraging, and giving you the graces to finish the race triumphantly. Lean on the one who loves you. Pay no heed to the voice of the world, which calls you deceived. Rather, cleave to me even more strongly, and together we will prepare the world for my second coming. And finally, I just want to mention that if this message sounds familiar, I may have given it to you before, but a certain situation has arisen, and I felt that it bore repeating. So the Lord bless you, dear ones. Thank you for all your prayers and support. It really, really matters.